Welcome back to another edition of Stars Radio, your short track auto racing source, a production of Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Well, folks, we're glad to be back after a two-week break there for Christmas and New Year's. Got a lot of great racing that we want to talk about tonight. Going to talk a little bit about the New Year's Bash that's going to be happening this weekend at Dillon Motor Speedway. We weather forced us to cancel it last week. We're going to talk a little bit about some racing that's been going on at some other activities around the United States here. But we want to kick off tonight's show with our guest. As someone we had here last year, we want to welcome Jim Boyle back to Stars Radio. Jim, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Johnny. Appreciate it.
It's definitely our pleasure there, buddy. I know you guys are getting loaded up, getting ready to come back down here to Dillon Motor Speedway. You were here last January for the event. I got to ask you, man, are you crazy? What makes you want to drive from Connecticut all the way down here to race?
Well, it's winter up here, and we can't race. So as a racer, I'm going to go where the tracks are.
I hear you. Well, you did come down to Dillon last January, and you had an opportunity to race with the street stocks here in the New Year's Bash, and it is some of the best street stock racers up and down the East Coast, all over the place, Midwest, guys come in. Tell us what your thoughts was about last year's race, and then we'll go on to this year's race.
Well, you know, we had a really good time last year. We hit the setup pretty good, you know, for the first time down there. We ended up getting into a little bit of a fender bender, straight up racing incident, nobody's fault. Ended up having to pit, and we repaired the car and got back out there. And I just kind of hung around the back. We were down 10 laps, and I didn't want to get in the way of the leaders. I didn't want to do anything crazy. But, you know, then that racer kicked in, and about 20 to go, I just let the hammer go. And we come right through the pack pretty damn good, to tell you the truth. So I'm really looking forward to this year, and we're coming back with pretty much the same setup, and I've actually been talking to a few of the local guys down there on setup notes, and, you know, we'll see what we got this time.
Well, we're looking forward to having you back here. We had a blast hanging out with you guys and talking and just having some good fellowship, talking racing and stuff. Now we're going to come back. We got snowed out, rained out this past weekend, and nice to come ready to come back down to Dillon. Are you bringing your big crew back this year, or what you gonna bring as far as help this year there, Jim?
Well, everybody that I brought last year, the crew with me, is bringing their own cars this year. They had such a good time. Chris Moose-Stouten, he's bringing his car down, and Roger Gleason, he's bringing his own car down. So the hope is that we can all kind of pit together in the same area, and we're all going to help each other out, obviously. And I'm bringing a few other guys with me down this year. So, you know, everybody had a blast last year. We were treated like family with everybody down there. We had no issues with anything. And all the guys down there, I've actually kept in touch with quite a few of them since last year. And, you know, we banter back and forth and maybe tell a few lies here and there. And, you know, it's been a really good year talking with these guys. I've been really looking forward to this race for the past year.
Well, Jim, after coming down here to Dillon last year, you obviously do a little bit of traveling, do some racing up there in the Northeast. What racetrack do you have up there that you would compare to Dillon Motor Speedway?
Well, there really isn't anything up here that compares to Dillon. Thompson might be about the closest. That's a 5/8-mile track. It does have high banking in the corners. Other than that, most of the stuff we run on the tour up here is a lot of short track stuff. We do run a few of the quarter miles of high banks, and, you know, they're just the bull run, basically. you know, but nothing that's really compared to what Dillon is. Dillon stands apart all by its lonesome, as far as that goes.
Well, did you learn anything when you were down here last year, setup-wise, tire-wise, that you could be able to use when you come back here in 2017?
Absolutely. We learned a lot last year, to tell you the truth. The problem is I've changed a lot of things on the car since last year, so now we've got to almost go back to the drawing board and start again. You know, I built this car specifically for my tour last year. So over the course of this past year, I've I've changed some things around. I've gone with a different rear end. I've gone with different suspension stuff. I've gone with a different motor. So, you know, it's going to be a kind of a little bit of a learning curve. I actually had to, I'm coming down with a little bit less gear this time. One thing I learned, we put a Ford 9 in this car, which I had never run before. It was never allowed in any of our divisions up here, is that we're actually getting more RPM because we're running a one-to-one situation and not going through the tranny, losing it there, and so on and so forth. And I learned that the hard way at Thompson a couple of months ago. We were turning about 6,800 with my crate motor, which I wasn't very happy about.
No.
So we're going to back it down a little bit for this one.
Yeah, you probably want to keep it somewhere in the neighborhood of 62, 63.
Yeah, I
would think it would be realistic.
That would be a good number. I wasn't very happy, and you know, it was one of those things. We were on the track, and I couldn't get another gear to the next day, so we ran it, but it is what it is, you know.
Well, you know, one thing you probably found out when you were down here last year, if you need anything and there's another race team that's not using it and they got it here at Dillon Motor Speedway, you know it's going to be available to you to be used. That's just the way this whole group of racers is that runs this Mid-Atlantic Street Stock Series.
Absolutely. We actually got a few parts off some guys last year after our incident turn 3 and 4. There was a couple of teams that jumped right to the aid, helped us out, gave us a few parts, and got us back on the track. I was really happy with the car. Listen, last year I was happy to finish the race. This year we're hoping to finish the race on the lead lap.
Well, I hear you there, brother. Well, you know, last year we had everything in the world hit us that hit us. But, you know, our biggest problem was even getting on the racetrack. We broke two transmissions, drive shaft. So, you know, we had all kind of problems just making it on the track and had to start so far back. And you know how it is when you're back there in the back, man. It seems like if there was a wreck, man, there was a bullseye on the side of our car.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I think the plan that we have in mind for this year is just kind of hang around for half a race, let it all happen, and just be there at the end.
That's exactly right. You know, that's always kind of been our plan there, Jim. If you can hang around top 10, somewhere in that range there, you're normally going to stay out of most of the trouble, and you got something for them at the end of the race. So that's a very good plan, sounds like you guys got.
Yep, that's the plan. We're just going to try and stay out of trouble. That's the big thing, stay out of trouble.
Well, Jim, I want to ask you about a couple other races that I know is coming up that's got a lot of people excited about. They're taking the street stocks, and we're going back to Bristol Motor Speedway, and we're also going to go to Loudoun Speedway and run the street stocks. Give me your thoughts on those two races there, Jim.
I personally have never been to Bristol. Obviously, I've watched a couple cars on TV, but I can tell you this. The day that was announced, that went immediately on my calendar. I will not be missing that race.
A lot of research
to be done for that one.
Well, you know, the Kimmel cars did go there and run a few years back. We got some notes for a metric car there. If you need some help with that, I'll be willing to share what notes we had there.
Absolutely.
And you know, that was a place that was just, oh man, it was awesome, you know.
I
never seen Charlie Harlow smile so bad, and he come off the track and he's smiling. I'm like, why are you smiling, dude? And he goes, man, that was great. I said, well, I hope so, because you were slow.
Loudoun obviously is a lot closer to me. That's only a couple hours from me. I have actually done the Richard Petty experience up there. I have been on the track. I've run the track. It's a flat track, it's a 1 mile track, but it is fast. The biggest thing I concern myself with street stocks, now I've been on my tour to get us on that track up there with one of our races, because our local Northeast Mini Stock Tour does run that track, and I figured a sister event would be perfect. And they were concerned about the speeds that we're going to hit on that track, which I can't say as I blame them. You know, we ran... I posted it on Facebook a few weeks ago. We ran the Thompson road course. The back stretch of the road course is probably about the same as the back or front stretch of Loudoun, and we were hitting about 148 miles an hour. And I can tell you from experience that my car did not like that at all. It was shaking like a leaf.
You know, that's kind of the way it was when we went to Rockingham there, Jim. You actually seen a lot of roofs that were splitting right about the middle towards the very back edge. The roofs were splitting, and a lot of guys was, you know, learning from the first time we was there to go beef that up, put a little, you know, another piece of sheet metal or something up underneath it to kind of beef it up to keep it from splitting.
Sure.
So I understand what you're saying there, especially after watching a lot of in-car videos from Rockingham.
Sure. I've watched a few videos of, like, the ACT cars running up there. One of my biggest concerns on my car, anyway, is I don't run the Coleman safety hubs. I believe that is an absolute necessity to run that track as flat as it is and as much force as you're going into those corners. I can tell you that I would not be the one guy that hit the wall in either one or three in a street stock. That I can promise you. So we're going to be doing some real vamping up of suspension before this car hits either Bristol or Loudon, for that matter.
Well, so, Jim, I'll have to lay on you a little bit for some Loudon information, and you have to lay on me a little bit for some Bristol notes that we have, and see if we can get each other fast.
Absolutely. I have don't know many guys that run the street stock up there, but I do know a bunch of guys that run the ACT. And so I've got some good gear selections and stuff like that, set up notes, and I'll be more than willing to trade information with you anytime.
Well, you know, that's one of the races that we're definitely looking forward to. Charlie's done said he's going to have a car and be ready to go up there and run Bristol and Loudon if he don't run no more races the rest of the year. So he's definitely looking forward to those two there. And I believe Jamie's looking forward to going to Bristol and Loudon. I've been to Loudon to watch a couple races, so I'm really interested in going there. I think it's going to be awesome.
Absolutely. I think that's going to be a really good show. I was talking to our race director today, and we're hopefully we can maybe get that in under our heading, is the hope. You know, like I said, we've been trying to get up there on our circuit for a few years here, and they just didn't want to seem to be interested in doing it. But now that somebody else is doing it in the street stock, I think it turned a few heads.
Yeah, absolutely, and I like the rules package that we're going to run up there. I think that attracted some guys from down here that'd be interested in going up there and giving it a shot. I seen something there, Jim, where you guys, your street stock tour may be in jeopardy here in 2017?
Well, OTB was the managing force behind the tour for the last 2 years. They are basically bowing out at this point. We had a conference call the other night between a bunch of the regular drivers and the management staff, and they are not picking up the contract for the following years. But in the last 2 days, I have talked to a few. Scott Fanning is the one that started the Northeast Street Stock Tour, and Bob Gupfill, who is the one promoting the Loudon race, have been talking, and between the two of them, there could be a little something going on. I don't think we're dead in the water yet.
I'm really glad to hear that, because it's really hard once you get a touring division like that started. You got to keep it going. I know when Frank's series kind of pretty much folded and Ron took it over, you know, our car count kind of dwindled a little bit, and I actually had a little bit of doubt, you know, was this going to be able to keep on going? And now it's got a few years up underneath the belt as the Mid-Atlantic Street Stocks, and the car counts is increasing every race, and we're starting to have good quality races. So I hope y'all guys are able to put the same type of thing together and make it work. Jim, tell us a little. Go ahead.
We've got the right two guys on it. Between these two, between Scott and Bob, I think we're going to get something going pretty good. You know, we've had our core guys, you know, we've got about a 10 to 12 group guys that do every race, and then we always have guys that jump in at the home track, which is where we get our car counts from. And, they're really interested in working with the home tracks to make sure that, you know, everybody has an opportunity to jump into the race, and we can end up with a 20 to 25 car field on a weekly basis. Some of the faraway tracks, that's kind of tough. They don't have a supporting division, so it's all on our own. And I think that hurts us a little bit. So those tracks may not end up back on the schedule. But, you know, in the whole season last year, we ran 12 races. And besides one track, which was my home track, but we won't broadcast that, we had two cautions all year.
Wow.
That's the kind of guys that we run with.
That's awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about your 2016 season. How'd it turn out?
We didn't do too bad. We came up one short. We finished second in the points on the Northeast Street Stock Tour. We had a couple of races that canceled out that I really, really wish we'd have had a shot at. But, you know, I'm running. This is my second year running street stocks, and I'm running with basically the best guys in New England. And I don't mean just on the track. I mean off the track, too. And Joe Arena, who has won both seasons of the Street Stock Tour, stand-up guy. Been doing this forever. But boy, I should like to whoop his butt once or twice. But you know what? It's irrespectable. My team and I, we put in 150% every single race. And to finish up second in the points for the year, I'm not complaining. We had a pretty good season.
Well, you mentioned that you guys had 12 races. You know, I've had this conversation with quite a few of the racers in the Mid-Atlantic Series. We like that 10, maybe 15 max race season. You know, it means you're not going to the racetrack each and every Saturday night, so you're not having to thrash so hard. You do have a few Saturday nights that you do have back-to-back Saturdays. But I kind of like a schedule like that, that 10 to 15 range.
Absolutely. Listen, I've done the 26-week thing. It's rough. It's not only rough on the guys, it's rough on a family life. You know, you got 5 days to get that car ready for next Saturday night.
That's right.
And that takes a toll. I am extremely happy with a 10 to 12 race schedule. I actually went out and bought a race truck at the end of last season, ran that one time. So my plan was to run the tour this year and jump into, you know, a race here and there with the truck, because I had a hell of a good time running that at the end of last year.
Right. Well, Jim, one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on the show is you're racing for a cause, and you're going to have some shirts and some sweatshirts and stuff when you come down here this weekend. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about Daniel's courage and what that's all about.
All right, so Daniel Walsh was a 14-year-old boy, a staple at my home track, the Waterford Speedbowl. Was there week in, week out, every single week, smile on his face. About, oh, I don't know, five years ago, he was diagnosed with bone cancer. Rough time with the kid. Lost his leg. More fight in this kid than I've seen in any grown adult in my entire life. About 3 weeks before Christmas time, he was also diagnosed with leukemia and was told, you know, basically, if you guys want to have Christmas with this kid, you need to do it now. Daniel passed away a couple of weeks ago, 14 years old, and his father had actually taken the last year off of work to care for his son. His boss, being a stand-up guy, did give him a partial paycheck every week to keep him going, put some food on the table, pay the rent, so on and so forth. But the financial situation is not good. So I got together with a couple of guys, a couple of my sponsors, Jeff's Custom Graphics, Jeff Windsor, a very good friend of mine. He does all the wraps and decals on all my cars. And the Brooke Wormstead Foundation got together, and we had some T-shirts printed. And we're basically, anything that we make on the shirts, we are donating right to Randy to help out with funeral costs and something, you know, whatever he needs at this point, basically.
Right.
So, you know, it's just too bad that, and it's not just Daniel. There's a million cases out there of the same situation. So anytime we can jump in and do something to help somebody out like that, myself, my team, my sponsors, 100% behind the cause at all times. And, you know, we're just trying to help out.
Well, Jim, I'll definitely take two T-shirts for me and my son, who will be there this coming weekend. Tell our listeners a little bit about the shirts, and I believe you're going to have some hoodies or sweatshirts or something. Tell them what you're going to have available down there for people to buy.
Well, basically, we printed up a new batch just to bring down there for next weekend. The first batch went like wildfire up here. again, I don't care if it's north, south, east, or west. Racing community stands together, always has. Anytime there's been something going on, man, it's just unbelievable how people pull together for something like this. So we printed up a new batch coming down there. It's the shirts are black, and it's Racing for Daniel. And I got the price, and I think it was, I want to say $12 a shirt, and then you get into the larger size, and it was like $15. But like I said, the shirts were donated by one of the companies that I do some work for, BRD Builders. I've been doing work for this company for many years, about 15 years. Mike stood right up. He paid for all the shirts. Jeff donated all the ink and all the printing. I donated labor because I don't know much about that end of the world. And, yeah, we just put a bunch of shirts together. I'm coming down with about 75 of them, I think it is, and, you know, hoping for a good turnout down there. A lot of guys have already stepped up and said, hey, you know, I don't care what size you got. We're just trying to help out. Whatever you got, we'll take it.
Well, I think it's a great deal there. And I just got a text message that I want to relay to you. Ron Pinchick, Ryan's daddy, said that he's going to donate $100 towards the cause for you to do whatever
excellent.
You want to do with.
Excellent. So, that's fantastic.
So I just want to pass that along. And if any of our listeners is interested in purchasing one of these T-shirts, how's the best way for them to find you? Facebook there, Jim?
Yeah, you can get me on Facebook. I think I'm friends with most of the guys down there, and everybody knows somebody that I know, so you're always welcome to get a hold of me on Facebook. That's pretty much the best way.
Okay. I got someone that asked me, Patrick Reynolds, who comes up at the 7:30 show. He was asking me that question, if we had a link or something that we could post and share on social media, how for people to find out more about the calls and how to purchase the T-shirts. So we'll come up with a little something and get it posted out there and share it with our millions of listeners that's out there listening to us.
Absolutely. And on Facebook is Daniel Couric. That's a big page, and you can read the whole story on there, and it'll tell you all about Daniel, where they're at these points, and there's a lot of pictures on there. You know, this is a kid that absolutely loved racing. I mean, he was at the track every single week. During the process of this whole thing, I can't tell you how many times drivers all got together, signed helmets, signed shirts, gave him this, gave him that, put him in the car, you know, Make-A-Wish was a big part of it. They sent him up to New Hampshire. I'm actually doing a Make-A-Wish fundraiser as well. I just went up to Maine this past weekend to qualify for that race, which will be held in March. That's something I do every year. Make-A-Wish, I think, is a fantastic foundation to help these kids out. And last year, we raised $58,000 in one day for the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Awesome.
So, I get involved in a lot of these type charities. I have a grandson that's autistic. We do the Walk for Autism every year in June at Rensselaer Field up here at UConn Field. You know, this is something, you know, I'm fortunate enough to be able to get in my car and go play on a pretty much a weekly basis. So anytime I can give something back, just a little bit, it sure does make you feel good.
Well, I understand and totally agree with you. And as a cancer survivor, I applaud you for what you're doing. It's a great idea. I truly support it. In any way I can help you out, that's what I'm here for. I'll help you out, promote it, get it sent out. And I know that Patrick and all our Bill and Barb and John, all the guys that start off at 8 o'clock, everybody will help promote this, get this information put out for you guys. And then Jeff and them guys will be on tomorrow night. We'll put a link up on our site and share it on all our social media. Jim, I want to thank you for taking the time and joining us here on the show tonight. It really means a lot. I know you're getting ready to start loading up and head down this way. And I'm looking forward to seeing you Friday out at the racetrack.
Absolutely. We're planning on leaving out of here Wednesday night. I'll be down in that area come Thursday afternoon. And, I'm looking forward to seeing everybody at the track this weekend.
Absolutely. Jim Boyle, guys, remember, folks, we're going to put a link up about Daniel Walsh and his fight that he had with cancer, and where you can go purchase a shirt if you're interested. We'll get that put up on our social media in a little bit. Again, Jim, thank you very much for joining us here on the show tonight. Time for us to get out of here, folks. But don't forget, you got Patrick Reynolds coming up with Speedway Report at the top or the bottom of the 7:30 hour here, so you don't want to miss that. Our military unit of the week is Captain John Thomason. He's on board the USS Mahan. And if you watch the news today, you'll find out that the USS Mahan actually fired some shots at some Iranian ships. So hopefully you guys out there are safe. I'm sure y'all probably on lockdown and not listening to a lot of internet talk tonight. But you guys are our military unit of the week. We'll see everybody back here next week with a complete rundown of everything that happened at the New Year's Bash at Dillon Motor Speedway. If you ain't got nothing to do, come on out Saturday. Going to be some great racing, some of the best street stock racing you're going to see anywhere up and down the East Coast. Until next week, Stars Radio, your short track auto racing stores, a production of